is Money Talk.
I can take money and I can make it into more money.
25 years on the air with advice on money matters. Here's your host, Bob Brinker.
Welcome to America's Money Program. This is Money Talk. Great to have you with us. We have our guest segment coming up. Make sure you're with us for that one. Should be a good one. Should be a good one indeed. Let's take a look at the week ahead and what will be happening in the canyons of Wall Street. And you know what? This is not going to be an especially busy week in terms of the economic data coming out. Now, we've had a lot of economic data recently, and the economic data has been good data on balance, but we're not looking for a lot in the way of pronouncements this week. We will have a speech, though, on the rubber chicken circuit Monday at noon with none other than the president of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, William Dudley. He will be speaking at a luncheon on Monday. And as I say, not a whole lot going on this week. Some minor announcements coming out. But nothing major. We'll get an update on the jobless claims data on Thursday morning. Now, this information has really improved in the last couple of weeks. You know, we had that interruption in the data flow as a result of those tragic hurricanes, Hurricane Harvey that did so much damage in the greater Houston area, and Hurricane Irma that did damage in the various areas of Florida in particular. And this data was interrupted by those severe storms. But now it appears that the data is returning to a more normal track. And the estimate is that jobless claims on Thursday morning will be announced at 232,000. And that number would be compared to 229,000 the prior week. Even the four-week moving average now is coming back down. And we're looking at the lowest figures on balance that we have seen in jobless claims in decades, literally in decades. Now, if you've been following jobless claims, you know that for the past 2 years, these numbers have been very, very low, near historic lows on occasion over the last 2 years. And that seems to be the case, and we thought it would return to this projectile, given the fact that the storms would pass and that the rebuilding would commence. Well, here we are. So far, so good on that one. Now, on Friday morning, we'll get an update on consumer sentiment. The estimate on this is a figure of 100. By the way, that is a really, really high figure when it comes to consumer sentiment. So consumer sentiment has been high this year, and it remains high. And we're not expecting to see that change a whole lot. You know, you hear me talk on the program about the risk of recession, because there really is nothing more important in terms of what you can analyze. There is nothing more important, for example, to the stock market than the economy and the risk of recession. And it is, believe me, it is not a coincidence that we have had this economy growing at about 2.2%. annual average real GDP growth rate for the last several years. It's been a moderate growth rate. It's avoided the excesses of growing too fast, and it's also avoided the problems of recession. And it's that absence of recession over these many, many years that has contributed to the growing corporate earnings track that we've seen on balance, and certainly that has contributed to the performance of the stock market, which as we speak is at an all-time record high, 2587. Well, the S&P 500, that is a total rate of return of close to 300% since this move began in March of 2009. And the Dow standing at 23,539. So it's truly been historic in many ways. We'll return with our guest segment. Stay with us. Bob Brinker here. It's Money Talk.
Money Talk. Why have over 3 million guys switched to Harry's razors? Because at Harry's, we give you less. We make just one razor with five German-engineered blades.
Ding!
all you need for a smooth and comfortable shave.
Ah.
And we got rid of upcharges. By owning the factory and cutting out the middleman, we're able to sell our high-quality blades for half the price of the other guys.
Ka-ching!
Now we're dropping the half-price sound effects guy.
Wait, why?
Not everyone can give you high quality for a fraction of the price. Harry's. One perfect razor. None of the extra noise. As a special offer for radio listeners, get an $18 shave set with an added bonus for free when you visit harrys.com and use code 3434 at checkout. Just cover a few bucks for shipping. That's harrys.com, code 3434, for a free shave set offer. Again, it's harrys.com, code 3434. Please note, no sound effects guys were harmed in the making of this radio recording.
This is a court-ordered notice. Current and former Honda and Nissan owners or lessees can receive payments and other benefits from a legal settlement related to allegedly defective Takata airbags in their vehicles. To see if your vehicle is included and to file a claim, go to AutoAirbagSettlement.com or call 1-888-735-5596. That's AutoAirbagSettlement.com or 1-888-735-5596.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Tired of that same old boring talk show? Then tune into So What's Your Problem? Stan Ketzer is guaranteed to make you laugh and help solve your real-life problems. Tune in Saturdays at midnight right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You've probably been hearing a lot about the future of healthcare. So Covered California wants to make one thing clear. It's open enrollment, and they are here to help find a health plan that's right for you. Visit them at coveredca.com to compare brand name health plans side by side and choose the one that fits you, your family, and your budget. You could even get help paying for your health insurance, so check for yourself to see what savings you qualify for. Life can change in an instant. Be covered when it does. Get started at coveredca.com today.
What you made me do. Hey, Lou, I wasn't paying attention and I got super glue all over our dining room table. What you
made me do. My refrigerator is always getting dirty. I get a fingerprint on it and I get yelled at.
Lou Manfredini's taking your calls live from 8 to 9.
It's usually true that when you just ignore problems, they just get better.
Saturday mornings on House Smarts Radio. Give him a call with any of your home improvement questions right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
What you just made me do.
Hey, race fans, the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series in Pomona starts November 9th through November 12th with the Auto Club NHRA Finals. 790 KABC, along with our sister station 95.5 KLOS, have an exclusive opportunity for you. A VIP pit crew experience with Leah Pritchett, driver of the Papa John's Top Fuel Dragster, including race tickets, hospitality passes, photo op, meet and greet, and a tour of the pit area. Go to 955KLOS.com to register for the VIP pit crew experience, and for race info, go to NHRA.com. Ignite your sense.
One size fits all has no place in your bedroom. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of Helix Sleep, and we know one mattress can't work for everyone. That's why we created the only mattress built for you. Go to helixsleep.com, take our 2-minute sleep quiz, and we'll build your custom mattress and ship it to you for free. Try for 100 nights, and if it's not the best sleep you've ever had, we'll pick it up and give you your money back. Go to helixsleep.com/talkradio right now, and we'll give you $50 towards your custom mattress. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
Hey there.
What's up, bruh?
Hello.
Aloha.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Hola.
Hi.
It takes a lot of voices to create the sound of us. The Y welcomes all of them with open arms. From career readiness to safe spaces, the Y is there, no matter who we are. Now, more than ever, they need your support. Donate to your local Y today. The Y, for a better us.
Read by members of the Y.
Thank you for that. We appreciate that very much. Jeffrey, there's so much going on. I'll tell you what, I've had to make notes to make sure I catch all the things. Obviously, the headline right now is that we've just learned this week that Jerome Powell is the new nominee for Fed chair, replacing Janet Yellen if he is approved in his confirmation hearings. And I presume he would take over in early February when Janet Yellen's term expires. I only say that because Chair Yellen has repeatedly said that she will complete her term. Your thoughts on Jerome Powell?
I think he's pretty centrist, Bob. Pretty much a follow-through and a continuation of Janet Yellen's policies. The one thing that's different about Jay Powell versus previous Fed chairs all the way back to the beginning of my career with Paul Volcker is he's not quite the classically trained PhD economist that previous Fed chair people had been. And so that may be a positive for all we know, but it is a deviation from the past. I do think he's a pragmatic type of, will be a pragmatic type of Fed chair, which means tied more to data and economic observations rather than theories. One of the theories that has been embedded in the Federal Reserve for quite some time is the Phillips curve, the purported relationship between the inflation rate and the unemployment rate. And it sounds logical that when the unemployment rate gets low from in falling down to a low level, that typically wage inflation starts to pick up. And, of course, that hasn't happened this go-around. And so some of these theories haven't really worked out in practice. And I think what we have is probably a philosophy for the first year of Mr. Powell's term that will be pretty much in line with what the Fed has been telegraphing as their intentions for 2018, which is three more hikes in the Federal Reserve Fed funds rate. For a few years there was a kind of a we want to raise interest rates mentality, but we can't because the economy isn't strong enough. And about March of this year, that changed. It changed to actually the data is strong enough, and if the data stays the same, we'll be able to raise rates every 3 months or so. And the data has stayed the same, even gotten a little bit better in the United States economy and the global economy. And so the base case from the Fed, they're thinking, is they're going to raise rates three times. The bond market, which we can divine what it thinks by looking at interest rate levels on Treasury bills from 1 week out to 1 year in the two-year Treasury. The bond market doesn't really believe what the Fed is saying. The bond market has been going along with the Fed's hikes this year, but the bond market really only thinks maybe one hike next year. And whether the bond market's right that it's one hike or it's Mr. Powell and his base case three hikes, whatever outcome ends up occurring, I think is going to be a large impact on the financial markets. Because if the Fed's right, then the dollar probably keeps its small rally that started in August going. And if the bond market's right, then the dollar probably falls. And that would have some implications for financial markets as well.
The voice of Jeffrey Gundlach, founder and CEO at Double Line Capital. Now, there's a story breaking this weekend, Jeffrey. We don't have a whole lot of color on it, but it is a story reported by CNBC that Federal Reserve Bank of New York President William Dudley is close to announcing his retirement, perhaps as soon as next spring or summer. They're citing several people familiar with his plans, anonymous sources. What are your thoughts?
Well, it brings up an interesting point, and that is that now that we know who the Fed chair is, a certain amount of certainty has shown up. But there are many Fed appointees that the president's going to have to make. And if Mr. Dudley retires, that's yet another one. And so the shape of the Fed could change with the other Fed governors that need to be appointed having, you know, influence on Jay Powell. Most importantly, the vice chair of the Fed will probably be a PhD economist to kind of complement Jay Powell. And so we probably will have a vice chair that is more typical for central banks than has been the case for the Fed, where there's something of a chief economist on central banks. And Jay Powell is not really a traditional economist, so we'll probably get a fairly strong voice economically, I think, as vice chair. So that's one that we're going to want to be paying attention to. But the influence of these other governors that the president appoints is going to be important in shaping the Fed.
Now, Jeffrey, given the fact that we're just in the early innings of the balance sheet normalization process that we'll be talking about further, is there any element of surprise here that this would be a time when we'd make a change in the chair at the Fed?
Well, it's an interesting question. The term just comes up, coincident just about with that balance sheet reduction, which I call quantitative tightening. When they were buying bonds, they called it quantitative easing. And there's ample evidence that quantitative easing was helpful in supporting risk markets like junk bonds in the bond market, like the S&P 500 in the equity markets. And the balance sheet started to roll off a couple months ago back in September, and the Fed is being appropriately careful about their rhetoric and their approach to letting these bonds roll off their balance sheet and re-enter the true bond market, where people like me and you would have to buy the deficits from QE 1, 2, and 3 that were bought by the Federal Reserve. And what they're doing is they're going to allow up to 30 billion treasuries per month to roll off. Now, there's many months when it's not 30 billion. So all of the bonds that mature in months where it's under 30 billion, they will be reissued into the bond market, causing additional bond supply. There are some months, though, where there's quite a bit of quantitative tightening that would go on if they let them all roll off. There's some months even where there's almost 70 billion that roll off. So they're being careful. There's also mortgage-backed securities, Ginnie Mae's, Fannie Mae's, Freddie Mac mortgages that are rolling off. They'll let up to 20 billion of those roll off. There is no month that's predicted to have as much as 20 billion roll off in the mortgage market. But quantitative tightening, if it's the symmetric outcome to quantitative easing, we should expect, I suppose, symmetric financial market movements, which means potential headwinds as opposed to tailwinds for some of the risk markets. So it is interesting the Fed chairperson is changing, but I'm pretty confident that the Fed has cemented their plan on the balance sheet roll-off, so I doubt Mr. Powell will alter that plan outlined of these bonds. So about $200 billion, maybe $250 billion of Treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities will enter the bond market as new supply next year, just as the deficit is starting to move higher. And that's going to continue to compound the deficit is because of the entitlement programs, which haven't been addressed at all, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, what's left of Obamacare. All of these things are into a demographic compounding curve with the baby boomers. And so we're going to be looking at some increase in bond supply in 2018, and it gets even more interesting in 2019 and really in 2020 when we have continued roll-off of the balance sheet, continued expansion of the budget deficit as a base case, and some substantial maturities in the corporate bond markets, of junk bonds, investment-grade bonds. It could be trillions of dollars of bond supplies. We look forward in 1919 and 2020. And for that reason, we're thinking, as we have here at Double Line ever since 2012, that we've been in a long-term interest rate bottoming process, with the 10-year Treasury getting as low as 1.32 on an intraday basis last year. It also got to nearly that exact same level in 2012. And shorter maturities with the Fed raising rates, clearly those yields bottomed a long time ago. It's hard to believe, but the 2-year Treasury had a yield of 15 basis points back in 2011. It's now about 150 basis points higher than that, and looks like it's going higher still. So I do think interest rates have bottomed. We could see some more interesting dynamics with all that supply that I referenced as we move forward a couple years from now.
And certainly everything that you just said, Jeffrey, is a recipe, frankly, for higher rates.
I think so. The other thing that's happening is we're starting to see nominal GDP has gone up a little bit. We seem to have kicked a little bit higher in terms of GDP in the United States. We're now running more at 2.5 real than the 2 real before, and also we have inflation, so we're now running about a 4% nominal GDP, maybe heading a little higher. One of the things I've learned over the years, Bob, and it'd be helpful for your listeners, I think, is when you think about 10-year Treasury rates, a good starting point for where they travel to is often the nominal GDP. And you can smooth it out by using a few years moving average type of thing. But when nominal GDP is on the rise, it's pretty common for interest rates in the 10-year Treasury to be on the rise. And nominal GDP has been on the rise, and it's nowhere close to the 10-year Treasury. I mean, back in 2016, when the 10-year Treasury was really low, nominal GDP was pretty low then, too. Inflation was almost non-existent with the collapse in oil, and real GDP was struggling. And now it's a little bit stronger. And we also see industrial commodity prices that are actually sort of booming. If you look at the price of copper, iron ore, nickel, but copper is the most important. There was an economist years ago that nicknamed it Dr. Copper, saying that it can gauge the health of the economy. So we'll call it Dr. Copper. It's used in manufacturing. It's used in housing. And so it's economically sensitive. And it's up over 50%. So commodity prices broadly seem to have bottomed out. That's a little bit inflationary. The one thing that hasn't happened, as I said earlier, the wage inflation has not shown up. We had the jobs report come out on Friday, and the average hourly earnings were only about 2.4% year over year. They had looked like they were trending higher gradually, in fits and starts anyway, for the past couple of years, but now kind of look sideways. But yes, I do think that one should be defensive about rates. Meaning that we think that they should probably head higher. They do seem low relative to many fundamentals, but what's really puzzling, one has to scratch one's head at what they're thinking in Europe as regards to interest rates. The economic realities in Europe are very similar right now to the economic realities in the United States. In fact, one could make a case that it's stronger. Manufacturing is stronger in Europe. Some of the manufacturing indices are stronger. Their manufacturing production is stronger. Loan growth is stronger. Their GDP and inflation are about the same. So one has to wonder what's going on with Mr. Draghi at the European Central Bank. He's still keeping interest rates negative as we raise them here, and they're still doing quantitative easing. And in fact, Mr. Draghi says they're going to keep rates at zero or lower on their short end until they are finished with QE and well past when they're finished with this quantitative easing. And they say they're going to keep doing $30 billion a month through at least September of 18. So if we're talking about negative rates lasting well past, to use his own words, Mr. Draghi, well past the end of quantitative easing, we might be looking at their base case of a couple of years, and maybe that's coincident with the fact that that's the end of Mr. Draghi's term. He just doesn't have the courage of Janet Yellen. Give her credit, she raised interest rates off of zero when a lot of people were worried about that. She started the balance sheet normalization, the quantitative tightening. In Europe, they haven't been able to summon the courage, even though the economic fundamentals seem to be largely in lockstep with the United States. So what I'm thinking about interest rates, Bob, is the 10-year Bund in Germany, which yields less than 40 basis points today. Seems to make no sense to me, since their inflation rate is about 1.7 and their GDP is a lot like ours. You know, when they finally give up on taking that rate, that's when you might start to see interest rates get a little bit more freedom to move up.
We'll be back after the break.
Over 70 million Americans have unhealthy blood pressure levels. Are you one of them? Introducing Berkeley Life, a 100% drug-free cardiologist-recommended supplement to help maintain normal, healthy blood pressure.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-530-4721 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable.
Operators are waiting at 1-800-530-4721 to take your call now. Call 1-800-530-4721. That's 1-800-530-4721. Again, 1-800-530-4721.
Attention car owners, you know, many of you tell me it's hard to find the time to sell your car, so you just take the trade-in value without checking out your other options like CarStub.com. CarStub.com is the new marketplace to sell a car, truck, van, or SUV hassle-free. CarStub.com's convenient service will send a friendly appraiser to your home or office and give you a free no obligation offer. You get more than a dealer trade-in price without the hassles of private party sales. CarStub.com makes selling a used vehicle easy, and they do all of the DMV paperwork. And if you need to upgrade to a new car, CarStub.com can help you with that too. My friend Derek Emery, he's the owner. He's known as Sledgehammer Derek because he will buy any car, even if it's got dents in it. How much cash are you driving? Find out. Call 800-870-1841. That's 800-870-1841. Or submit your car for free at carstub.com. Busy lives need convenience, so that's why you have to visit carstub.com today. When you change your car, you change your luck, and you change your luck at carstub.com. Check them out. Do it today.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Rob Marinko. One person's been critically injured in a fire aboard a yacht in San Pedro this evening. That fire was reported shortly after 10 p.m. in a 70-foot yacht at berth 33. There have been no arrests made yet as Santa Monica PD investigates deadly gunfire between a couple of different tour buses near the Santa Monica Pier. One woman was killed. A non-injury fire inside an apartment in the Wilshire District tonight was quickly put out by firefighters. That blazed inside a kitchen and a two-story garden-style apartment on South Eldon Avenue, reported just about 9:20 or so. The KABC SoCal weather forecast, cloudy and cooler tonight, lows mostly in the 50s and 60s, and then a bit of a warming trend beginning Tuesday. Chance of showers later in the week, 60 right now in Northridge, 57 in Lake Forest, and 60 in downtown L.A. More news coming up and continuous coverage at KABC.com. I'm Rob Marinko, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
This is a court-ordered notice. Current and former Honda and Nissan owners or lessees can receive payments and other benefits from a legal settlement related to allegedly defective Takata airbags in their vehicles. To see if your vehicle is included and to file a claim, go to AutoAirbagSettlement.com or call 1-888-735-5596. That's AutoAirbagSettlement.com or 1-888-735-5596.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Claim. Go to AutoAirbagSettlement.com or call 1-888-735-5596. That's AutoAirbagSettlement.com or 1-888-735-5596.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
This is Money Talk.
From the beaches of Waikiki to the shores of Block Island Sound, it's America's Money Program, Money Talk. Bob Brinker along with you, and our guest is Jeffrey Gundlach, the founder and chief executive officer at Dubonline Capital. Jeffrey, if you look back through the long term, you find two ingredients to real GDP growth that have a lot of input. One of them, of course, is population growth. Another one is the rate of growth of productivity. And as you know, the rate of population growth in the U.S. is now down to its lowest level since the 1930s. It's clicking along at about 0.7% annual. And as you also know, the five-year trailing growth in productivity is also at 0.7%. Does that present a problem for those who want rapid real GDP growth?
Sure does, Bob. You're right, absolutely right about that labor force growth. It's come down about a percentage point over the past couple of generations, and that's a big deal. When the population isn't growing, the labor force obviously doesn't grow as much. Then you got the demographics of who's working, and that's been kind of a tractor pull on economic growth as well, with the demographic problem of so many people want to retire, and the more people who are retired versus people who are producing, obviously there's a resource allocation issue there. Well, on the productivity side, productivity is a little squishy when it comes to measuring. So sometimes I wonder why productivity seems so low when you look around and we have all of this automation going on and factories that used to produce product with 120 workers and now there's 10 because they have robots. It sounds to me like the productivity of those 10 has gone way up. But then again, manufacturing is only a small part really of our economy anymore. And so some of those automation things in the manufacturing economy don't have as big of an impact on productivity as they would have in the past. And so absolutely, I mean, that is a basic equation. Your economic growth is going to look like your labor force growth and how productive that labor force is. And for that reason, these people who talk about 4% real GDP on any kind of a sustained basis are mathematically challenged, it seems to me. These labor force trends do not change quickly. They are very slow moving. And so I think if we are looking at economic growth to pick up, I think the goal would be even on the high end of 3% real economic growth, although it can do that for short spurts, particularly if there's stimulus programs, if there's tax cut that effectively does put cash into the spendable budgets of the spending budgets of the middle class. I suppose we could get a little boost in economic growth short term. But not sustained. In Europe and in other parts of the developed world, the demographics are terrible. In Italy, for example, they're projected to lose a third of their labor force over the next generation, if you can believe that. In Russia, they're experiencing one of the biggest implosions in population in world history. Seriously, as a base case, absent war or famine or disease, or you basically never have seen the projected fall off in population. Perhaps that's why Mr. Putin has gotten interested in adding territory in the Ukraine and who knows beyond that because of the population problem. So one of the things that investors should focus on is demographics in investing. For example, Bob, I've been very positive on India for quite a few years now because their labor force will explode, it continues to explode in the hundreds of millions over the next generation, whereas China, which we all know, was and continues to be a significant force but has really grown of its share of the world economy because it had tremendous demographic growth in labor force over the past 35 years or so. But China will not have any labor force growth over the next generation as they reap the consequences of their one-child policy from years back. So on the demographic side, India and certain of the other Asian emerging markets appear poised to have strong upticks in growth.
Our guest is Jeffrey Gundlach, founder and chief executive officer at Double Line Capital. Let's go to the phones, listening to the mighty WLS Chicago. Carl is on the line. Carl, you're on with Jeffrey Gundlach. Go ahead.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I was curious the way the economy is going right now and with inflation seemingly to be under control, except for the slight uptick that we're getting in wages, but it's not significant, that there's a possibility not only that they could be increasing the interest rates three times next year, but I remember in the past where the Fed used to say that they were not going to be transparent. They weren't going to be advertising what they were going to do. When the time came, they would do it. But just the fact that they're advertising the fact that it looks like they're going to be raising rates three times next year, is there a possibility that they could be creating the very problem that they're worried about, that they could be creating inflation because people would start to prematurely adjust to upcoming interest rate increases?
Well, I think, Carl, that the Fed would love to see a little bit of an uptick in the inflation rate. That's what they've been trying to do for a long time. I'm skeptical about the latter part of your question, though, that they'll motivate behavior. I think the average consumer couldn't even tell you who the Federal Reserve is. So I just doubt that you're going to get an en masse change in behavior because of something on the financial level the Federal Reserve. Your point on transparency is fascinating, though. Alan Greenspan famously said that if, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, if you think you understood what I said, I haven't been sufficiently vague. He was so interested in being obtuse in terms of his actions. And you're right, the Fed now is telegraphing everything. And I think the reason is that they've got spooked in a very substantial way back in 2013 when Ben Bernanke mentioned the taper of the quantitative easing program, and interest rates spiked by 150 basis points in about 6 weeks, and the risk markets really almost had what we'd call a crash. And in the aftermath of that, there's tremendous desire not to rock the boat. And what they've chosen, the method they've chosen, is this kind of, pre-announcement of what they intend on doing. And so far, I suppose, they would have to claim success, at least over the last 18 to 20 months or so. We've experienced one of the least volatile markets for stocks and bonds in the United States of all time. This year's drawdown, the S&P 500, from peak to trough is less than 3%. And the indices that measure expected volatility remain absolutely on the floor in both stocks and bonds. So their method continues.
Our guest is Jeffrey Gundlach, founder and CEO at Double Line Capital. Jeffrey, earlier you mentioned the yield on the 10-year German sovereign, the Bund, being a touch under 40 basis points. And here we have a 10-year sovereign in the USA yielding close to 2.4, just a shade below 2.4. That's an awfully big gap, it seems to me, a 200 basis point gap between the two securities. What are your thoughts on that gap?
It is a very big gap, and yet it doesn't seem that likely to expand that much further as a base case. One of the reasons that the 10-year Treasury remains low in the United States, and again, I reference nominal GDP, which is now fully 1.5% and maybe close to 2% higher than the 10-year. That's a pretty big gap there, too. So what we really have is a push-me-pull-you going on. We've got the nominal GDP pulling the 10-year Treasury higher, and we've got the 40 basis point Bund yield pulling it lower. And I don't think it's a coincidence that it resides exactly in between the two. So what I was saying right before the break, if Mr. Draghi changes his policy or talks about potentially thinking about changing his policy, the 10-year Bund has no business being where it is, and it would probably allow, it would not be pulling the U.S. 10-year lower and could free it to rise. The last thing I want to say about strange behavior in bond yields is, in addition to this gap between the U.S. 10-year and the Bund, is the yield on junk bonds in Europe is shockingly low. Junk bonds in Europe, which we all know are vulnerable to default, that's why we call them junk bonds, they actually yield, believe it or not, less than the 5-year U.S. Treasury bond. A basket of junk bonds actually yields about 2% across Europe. That's it. So it shows you how distorted markets can become with these central banks engaging in experimental policies.
So is this some sort of a desperate chase for yield based on euro-denominated bonds that would bring junk bond yields in Europe down that much?
Yes, there has been a yield starvation, and there has been very quiescent markets, which encourages people to ignore risk. People are very aware of risk when there's high volatility to the downside. After long periods without that, they forget about the risk, and we have strange things going on in the credit market. There's a credit market called bank loans, which are floating rate securities that basically institutions buy and banks own for funding companies. And they usually have covenants in them. Covenants, that means investor protections, that bond buyers can rest easy because they know if there's a default, they have some protections to protect their recovery rate. But lately, there are hardly any covenants in the bank loan market. In fact, those securities that come to market with covenants, you won't believe this, the narrative today is that you should avoid those because if they need to have covenants, there must be something wrong. That bonds without covenants are the safest because they must be great companies because they don't need covenants. Investor protections, well, those are no good because investors that need protections, there must be something wrong fundamentally with the security. This type of logic is also, I think, reflective of a desperation for yield. and narratives come up why risks are not risks anymore. So I think junk bonds in the United States are worth watching. Usually the spreads on junk bonds expand versus U.S. Treasuries very noticeably in the months preceding a recession. So those that want to call for a recession, they need to watch junk bond yields. They aren't signaling anything like that right now. They're very narrow. Even U.S. junk bonds, they certainly yield more than European. But the spreads are tight versus Treasuries, but we need to see them widen. So I own some junk bonds. I'm not against owning them. I don't own as many as I usually do. But I call it the risk dance. They're playing the risk music, and you can dance the risk dance, but I think investors need to dance near the door because the risks will emerge, and the yield protection and the covenant protection is not there as you would want to see it.
And the name of that game is Junk Bond Musical Chairs, of course.
Indeed. You know, I don't think, Bob, any junk bonds have ever matured in the United States. The junk bond market has existed only during declining interest rates. So they've either defaulted or been refinanced.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see how the junk bond market behaves when we're in a secularly rising interest rate environment, which we think has gradually begun. It's a process, but we think it has begun. And what will happen when companies have to refinance their debt, not at lower rates during a bull market in bonds, but at higher rates? What if a company has to go from a 6% debt to a 12% debt? Should be interesting. My conclusion is that what we think we know about default rates probably is too low because it's informed with a secular environment that kind of hides some of the risks.
Mike is on the line of Vallejo, California. Mike, you're on with Jeffrey Gundlach. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, I have some cash now that I've sold into the rising stock markets, and I'm still invested 50% in stocks, but would this be a good time to invest in a bond fund?
The $64 question. There it is. There it is, Jeffrey. The $64 question has appeared. Is this a good time to buy bonds? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a reasonable time to own shorter maturity bonds. So we all know that in the bond market, there's a term called duration. That's your interest rate risk. And the bigger the number, the more your bonds are going to fall for every percentage change in interest rates, or rise for a percentage fall in interest rates. I think you should be in funds that have a duration that's probably lower than what an index fund offers you. An index fund has a duration of around 6, and I think you're better off in funds with durations between 2 and 4. And that's how we've navigated our funds over that period. If you still own stocks, I would add some advice there, if you don't mind, Bob. And that is, I would say that it's a good time for investors to think about diversifying their portfolios to international, more international exposure. It's been a good move to own emerging market stocks all year. European stocks have lagged. They started out pretty strong this year, but then they started to falter with the euro rallying against the dollar pretty strongly earlier in the year. And my favorite market, again, is India. There's an ETF called INDA, and I've recommended it for the very long term. I think that the economic growth will be there, and certainly the valuations of foreign markets are far superior to the valuations of the United States. If you look at Dr. Shiller, who won the Nobel Prize for his work on cyclically adjusted P.E. ratios and among other things, that ratio in the S&P 500 is twice as high nearly as that ratio is for a basket of emerging market equities. Even with emerging having had such strong performance this year, it's terribly undervalued versus historical metrics and CAPE ratios. And also Europe is cheaper than the United States, although that's not my favorite market. I just note that on a valuation basis, the European market is cheap to the U.S. As we talked about earlier, the demographics in Europe are quite poor, particularly in some of the countries. Germany's poor. I mentioned Italy. France is okay, but that is a problem there. And their interest rate policy probably is going to cause them challenges, too. So I like really foreign markets, particularly emerging markets. And India would be my one-stop shopping.
And, Jeffrey, let me get a quick take from you on what we've seen so far in the proposed tax package. What's your initial reaction to it?
Well, I was fairly disappointed in the lack of discussion about, or follow-through, I should say, on getting rid of the carried interest. One thing that's always got my goat is that these billionaire people with hedge funds and their carried interest can, you know, not really have to pay any taxes. I think the tax bill looks like it's pretty bad for top wage earners, unless you're a mega billionaire who's might be glad that the estate tax is at least proposed to be winding down. But for people like me in California, I'm actually experiencing a significant tax increase if the deductibility of state taxes disappears, which is the plan. So I think the tax plan is modestly good for the middle class. I think it's very good for select billionaires at hedge funds and the heirs of the Walton family and the Koch brothers. But I think that really for many of the people in the upper middle class or the non-billionaire crowd in the upper class, I think it's actually a tax increase. So we'll see how it ends up. I'm skeptical about the legislative progress on this, and I'm skeptical that the bill will look anything like the House GOP proposal. But right now, that seems to be where it stands. But one thing I do believe, if there is any tax cut passed, I think it will expand the deficit, and it may boost economic growth, at least temporarily. And both of those things, again, are bond unfriendly. So another reason to be defensive and to think about rising interest rates, perhaps additionally as a consequence of the tax plan.
Our guest, Jeffrey Gundlach, founder and CEO at Double Line Capital. Jeffrey, it's been a delight and illuminating. We thank you for your time. We wish you and your folks at Double Line continued success.
Thank you so much, Bob, and good luck to everyone for the remainder of 2017.
This is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
This is a court-ordered notice. Current and former Honda and Nissan owners or lessees can receive payments and other benefits from a legal settlement related to allegedly defective Takata airbags in their vehicles. To see if your vehicle is included and to file a claim, go to AutoAirbagSettlement.com or call 1-888-735-5596. That's AutoAirbagSettlement.com or 1-888-735-5596.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
A HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download free HomeAdvisor app.
HomeAdvisor.
Over 70 million Americans have unhealthy blood pressure levels. Are you one of them? Introducing Berkeley Life, a 100% drug-free cardiologist-recommended supplement to help maintain normal, healthy blood pressure while supporting energy and vitality. Now, for a limited time, try Berkeley Life free.
Call 800-961-2780.
A key to maintaining healthy blood pressure is your body's nitric oxide levels. Berkeley Life helps to boost nitric oxide levels naturally. The breakthrough is from a discovery which won a Nobel Prize in Medicine on nitric oxide levels in the bloodstream. Berkeley Life includes free saliva test strips to see your levels instantly. Now there is a supplement you test yourself and can see it's working. In a consumer study, 91% felt healthier after taking Berkeley Life for just 3 weeks. Here's Dan, an actual Berkeley Life user.
The supplements are easy to take, more energy, more clarity. I don't have to worry about my blood pressure levels anymore, and the results are fantastic.
Get your free 30-day supply. Call 800-961-2780. Just pay shipping and handling. 800-961-2780. 800-961-2780.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 1313 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 1313.
This is
is a court-ordered notice. Current and former Honda and Nissan owners or lessees can receive payments and other benefits from a legal settlement related to allegedly defective Takata airbags in their vehicles. To see if your vehicle is included and to file a claim, go to AutoAirbagSettlement.com or call 1-888-735-5596. That's AutoAirbagSettlement.com or 1-888-735-5596. This is a court-ordered notice. Current and former Honda and Nissan owners or lessees can receive payments and other benefits from a legal settlement related to allegedly defective Takata airbags in their vehicles. To see if your vehicle is included and to file a claim, go to AutoAirbagSettlement.com or call 1-888-735-5596. That's AutoAirbagSettlement.com or 1-888-735-5596.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app.
HomeAdvisor.
This is Money Talk.
For information on my investment letter, Bob Brinker's Mark the Timer investment letter, go to bobbrinker.com and request a complimentary back issue. Easily done. Visit the homepage to request the complimentary back issue at bobbrinker.com. While you're at the website, check out information on Money Talk On Demand. You can stream our broadcast to your computer, download to your smartphone. That is Money Talk On Demand. That way you listen wherever you go, whenever you like, to Money Talk. Sign up at bobbrinker.com right there at the Money Talk On Demand logo. And, of course, the investment talk is year-round. And our Jeffrey Gundlach interview will be part of Money Talk On Demand tonight. You'll be able to listen to the third hour if you receive it. Hey, before they beam me out of here, let me thank all of our Money Talk Trekkies for cruising with us on the Starship Money Talk. Program coordinator, Robbie Chandran. Producer, Meredith Oakes. Technical director, Zanhel Bordone. And Fred Bennett. Till next time, happy investing, and may the odds be ever in your favor.